Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. A very warm welcome from London in the UK. Here is today's news about electric cars and the future of transport. My name is Martin Lee. This is your EV News Daily for Saturday, 31st of March, 2018. Welcome to the weekend. Coming up on the show today, we'll talk about Nissan acknowledging battery issues and using your phone to drive your new car. But first of all, not a good week for Tesla. Well, there was a fully charged video released a couple of days ago, maybe even yesterday, with Johnny Smith at the Geneva Motor Show. Great 20-minute video. Go and watch it. Part one. And he sits in the back of a Model 3 and he talks about how Tesla's done an amazing job for such a new company. And it was a reality check that at a motor show dominated by the heritage names who have been making cars for a long time, and of course a few newcomers like Rimac, of course Tesla is still seen as a newcomer by a very experienced motor journalist like Johnny Smith. So, and he was talking about the kind of interior quality and things like that. However, it is unsurprising that a new car maker trying to make as many models as possible is occasionally going to come unstuck with something that was just not foreseen at the time. And that leads on to the biggest ever Tesla recall when they announced earlier this week. It's quite a big one as well. 123,000 Model S's, all the ones built before April 2016, half of all the models sold, actually. That follows a seatbelt recall in 2015 they also had to do in the same week that 14% of the company value was wiped off and the debt rating was downgraded as well. The issue seems to be with calcium and magnesium salt, which is used in some countries to keep snow off the roads. Well, time has shown that it can corrode the power steering bolts. Now, we have an official statement from Tesla, and it says this: "We have observed excessive corrosion in the power steering bolts, though only in very cold climates, particularly those that frequently use calcium or magnesium road salts rather than sodium chloride, like table salt, in other words. Nonetheless, Tesla plans to replace all early Model S power steering bolts in all climates worldwide to account for the possibility that the vehicle may later be used in a highly corrosive environment. If the bolts fail, the driver is still able to steer the car, but the increased force is required due to the loss or reduction of the power-assisted steering. This primarily makes the car harder to drive at low speed and for parallel parking. It does not materially affect any control at high speed, where only a small steering wheel force is required. Anyway, and we applaud Tesla for getting the news out there as soon as they could. There are other companies that maybe would have not wanted to announce this in the week that there was a pretty high profile Model X fire that's being investigated. Nothing to do with Tesla. Autopilot, by the way, they say. But they are, of course, talking to the investigators about that. In the same week of they had that stock price and all sorts of other things, and the Waymo and Jaguar I-Pace announcement as well, which kind of showed maybe they were a little bit behind on self-driving. This recall was an important safety thing to get out. And you know what? It just shows they have the right attitude as a company. They care about the people who buy their products the same way the people who buy Teslas care about the company and whatever else is going on around them. They got this out in a really good fashion. Well, another company that has occasionally had to address issues over the years, but again, it's entirely understandable when you've sold 300,000 Nissan Leafs. Well, Nissan have responded to an Inside EVs study into battery deg. Well, I read it on Inside EVs. The summary was this: at 2 years of age, the mean rate of decline of the 30 kilowatt hour Leaf was almost 10% a year, 9.9% per annum. This was around three times the rate of decline of the 24 kilowatt hour Leaf, which at 2 years averaged just 3.1% per annum. Well, the Nissan EV communication manager, Jeff Wandel, or Wandel, offered this response: "Nissan's aware that a limited number of customers have expressed concerns with the previous generation of the Nissan Leaf, 30 kilowatt hour battery. Leaf owners are some of the most devoted customers. We take their concerns seriously, said Jeff, and we have technical experts currently investigating the issues raised. So they'll be looking into that then. Well, the report continues that if the high rate of decline in battery capacity that we observed in the first 2.3 years of the 30 kilowatt hour Leaf's lifetime were to continue, the financial and environmental benefits of the model may be significantly eroded. The report continues that despite 30 kilowatt hour Leafs accounting for only 14% of all light battery electric vehicles registered for use on New Zealand roads at the end of Feb 18, there's also the potential for the relatively poor performance of this specific model to undermine EV uptake more generally unless remedies can be found. But I would offer the opinion, let Nissan look into it. They're not, they're such a huge company. They're just not in the business of covering these things up. They'll look into it, and if they find something that either needs an update or a software patch or something that they can do, then they will. And if there's nothing wrong with it, if this study was wrong, then I'm sure they'll address that as well. We'll keep an eye on it, but both sides are putting their case forward. Well, the Lincoln Aviator was seen this week in New York, and it's the first plug-in hybrid electric vehicle, SUV, that they're making, and it's packed with the kind of tech that you'd expect in a car like that. A bit like the recent Touareg launch. The VW Touareg is their big, top-of-the-line, super luxurious model, and the third generation was unveiled. It was a few days ago now. It had this massive screen. It was not quite Model 3 levels of simplicity, but a huge screen in it. It was all technology. Big petrol, big diesel engines, which is why I didn't talk about it on the podcast, in case you were wondering. There is going to be a plug-in hybrid electric version of the Volkswagen Touareg, but initially only for the Asian markets. Europe and North America won't get it. Therefore, I thought I'm not going to make it a news event. I only happen to talk about it now as kind of a side point. But when we get some more electrification of the Touareg, big car, gorgeous car, or even just get the plug-in hybrid sold in North America, please. Maybe it will one day. But there we go. For now, stinky diesel, stinky petrol. The only options for that. Therefore, not interested. Well, Ford with the Lincoln Aviator have gone all out on the tech, including the phone as a key technology. This is great. Just like Tesla with the Model 3, it's a sign of the way things are heading. With only your mobile phone at hand, it's all you need to unlock and drive your car. Well, Top Speed says that once the hardware and software needs to have been addressed and they can talk to each other, owners can use the app on their phone to lock and unlock the car, open its trunk, and most importantly, start the Aviator and drive away with it. In times where the car owner can't be bothered to drive the car themselves, well, they can send temporary codes to others, who are then required to input them into the app to receive the same menu of functions. That said, the codes are temporary, so they will eventually time out as another code is generated by the app, and that's where their report ends. And that's kind of interesting, because as people talk about car sharing, transport as a service, and all these things going forward, and people saying, well, I'm going to give my car keys to somebody, how does that work? Well, no, you just give them access for 3 hours if they want to borrow your car or use an app to short-term rental, that kind of thing, and do a bit of car sharing. Fascinating technology, no doubt, coming to lots more cars very soon. And finally, the EPA in America could be giving an economic advantage to China, according to one report. And you can't have an interest in electric cars, really, without having a bit of an awareness that the sexiest cars are made in America and Europe. But the really big numbers are being done in China as they rapidly electrify. Now, there are whole cities where every single public bus is an electric bus. And we're talking tens of thousands in some of these cities of buses. It just never makes the headlines as much as whether Tesla made 200 or 250 Model 3s in a day. I mean, that gets front page news, and yet China are just selling a bazillion models of electric cars. Well, EcoWatch noted how this is going to shift the balance of power. World power, economic power, EV power, in terms of where the next car you buy, if it's electric, where it'll be made and who makes it. Well, Congress has preserved the ability of California to set its own tailpipes, as this report, and tailpipe standards, an authority the state has exercised since before the EPA was created in 1970. Now, other states may opt in to California standards. In the case of California's greenhouse gas standards for cars and trucks, 13 other states have decided to do so. That creates a combined market of approximately 30% of all of the USA's annual new passenger car and truck sales. Now, the world then follows. It's just the way it is. It's called the California effect, and it occurs as jurisdictions within and outside of the US trade up to more stringent emissions standards to achieve their benefits and simplify compliance. Well, this report continues that China's recently adopted goals for plug-in vehicles overtake California by an aggressive deployment of plug-ins and pure electrics, beginning in 2019 with 7 million new plug-ins sold per year by 2025. Well, the Chinese government is openly discussing the date to discontinue internal combustion engine vehicles within China. Daimler just teamed up with a Chinese partner to invest $2 billion in a manufacturing plant in China. And the Chinese maker Geely, of course the owner of Volvo, amongst many other things, has accumulated a 10% stake themselves in Daimler, reportedly in a bid to secure its electric and autonomous vehicle technology. There's every chance that those big automakers that are currently selling lots of cars, in 5 or 10 years' time, because of EVs, won't be there anymore. Talking hundreds of thousands of jobs in many places that are not China. China have big plans, and we should make sure that we are aware about how things like environmental laws, and this isn't a political podcast, of course, you know, pro-Trump or anti-Trump, if that's the way America's going to go and ease the restrictions on tailpipe emissions, well, then the focus is going to turn to electric cars elsewhere, because it's going to happen. It's you and I know it's just going to happen at a really fast rate, and it's going to leave America behind. And lots of jobs on the line as well. One to watch, yeah. Well, I'd love to spread the word about a podcast. And if you can, share this with somebody who might be interested, or even all of your Twitter followers who might be interested. Listen to every previous episode on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, YouTube, TuneIn, and the WordPress blog at evnewsdaily.com. And you can subscribe for free. You get it automatically if you're a subscriber. You get it free and first every single day. Well, if you want to follow us on Twitter at EV News Daily, have a wonderful day, and I'll catch you for Easter Sunday's edition.